Check four. All right, that's me. That's me. All right, folks. Well, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Amen. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Could you be mine? Would you be mine? I'm wearing my Mr. Rogers sweater. Yeah. Hey, man, we're going to see the Mr. Trolley come by today. Ding, 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 ding. Then we're going to see the puppets. All right. Put it on screen. That's right. Of course, y'all are thinking, Mr. Rogers needs to shave. All right. We do have some announcements for you. We've got next Sunday is the annual Thanksgiving feast right after the a.m. service. So the church is providing the meats, two hams, two turkeys. It's going to be good, good. And so the church folk are providing the sides and the desserts. So if you've not gotten with Miss Virginia or Brother John about what you're bringing, they're there in the back. You can maybe slip out sometime and get with them this afternoon. We want to have a good mix. You know, we don't want to have all green bean casserole or all mashed potatoes. Or is anybody bringing squash casserole? You got squash casserole on there? Squash. Yellow squash casserole. No, I can't cook it, but I mean, if I tried to make it, you'd be like, what is this? But baked squash casserole is a good casserole for Thanksgiving. Just saying, just throwing it out there. All right, so that's coming next Sunday. And Miss Virginia's trying to figure out a head count for next Sunday. So if you for sure know you're going to be here, please let her know how many people will be in your party. So kind of where we know where to set up. So, and I think it's still going to be cold next Sunday. Can you believe it? I'm telling you, whoever left the door open up in Canada, shut that thing, amen? We want that southeast wind to come back up in here and warm our old cold bones up, I'm telling you. You know I'm cold if I got a sweater on, amen? You know I'm cold. Yeah, yeah, very good. We do have one birthday for you. Missy Tosh, 17th. All right, happy birthday. How old are you going to be, sis? 48. All right. Amen. Way to go. Anybody else got a birthday? No? No other birthdays? All right. Well, Fred, we're going to sing happy birthday then. You ready, Fred? All right. Let's sing some happy birthday. Good to see y'all. Amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Well, stand if you can. We're going to sing Change My Heart, O God.
You are the power.
Heavenly Father, we just come here today to praise your holy name, lift your name up on high, Lord. You are the Almighty God, creator of all things, Lord, and we just come here to praise your word today. And thank you for this choir, Lord, leading us in this worship music, and Jeremiah and Lori, Lord, we just couldn't do it without them. Lord, we just thank you for this building and the heat. Lord, and the pews, and Lord, you just give us so much. We're just blessed, Lord, and we just ask you to just watch over the people that couldn't make it today, our church members that are sick and out, and we just ask you to be the ones that are online. Lord, we thank you for that, and be able to for them to hear the word. Lord, we just ask you to put that word on our pastor's heart today. Just be with Brother Lee as he preaches, and just let the Holy Spirit work through him, Lord, and let this Holy Spirit flow through the church and just touch somebody, Lord. And God, we pray they come forth and give their life to you. Lord, we just give a small portion back to you, Lord Jesus, just a small portion. God, we thank you again for everything you've given us, and we ask you to bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
Amen.
All right, Children's Church, are we going to do it? Is it happening? I think. Yeah, maybe. Children's Church, yes? You going to, what are we doing? Everybody staying in? You going to try, sissy? All right. All right, look at you go. Man. Wow, super duper. Wow. Man, I like that jacket. All right. Okay. Well, amen. For the rest of us, let's take our copy of God's Word and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. And we'll pick it up in verse 1 again, and then we're not covering verse 1. We're going to cover some more verses. But to kind of set the context, we're going to begin in verse 1, and then we'll read it through about verse 14. And we'll try to cover 9 through 14. We'll see how it goes this morning. And, I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. Matthew chapter 24. Those of you watching with us online, good to have you with us. I don't know who's watching these messages, but I'll go back and look. I don't know if these things are getting passed around or somebody's saying, hey, you need to check this out. But really encouraged by the number of views that are online. But nobody can touch Brother Ronnie Vaculix. Brother Ronnie Vaculix did a Wednesday night, I don't know, over a year ago. That thing's got 400 and something views already. 400 and something views. That's amazing. So anyway, all right. Y'all ready? All right, online folks, Matthew 24, beginning of verse 1. Those of you in the crowd, here we go. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. That's good news, isn't it? Right? For those tribulation saints. That's good news for them. Amen? We'll be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy and inerrant word. We pray that these words, that this scripture, that this truth finds its way inside of us, deep down inside our hearts. And Lord, we pray that it would bear fruit within us and that it would encourage us and strengthen us and undergird us with the will and the want to and whatever we need to keep on keeping on for you. We thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit that indwells us as believers and gives us the strength to go on day after day after day. We praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for those that are on the fence, on that proverbial fence of jumping in with both feet in faith. Lord, we pray that they not fall back. We pray that they continue to go forward with you and experience what salvation is all about, what discipleship is all about. Father God, we love you for what you're doing in us and what you're doing with us. And Lord, we pray that you continue to use your church in this church age before the rapture of the church. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all you're doing. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God, and may He add this tremendous blessing to it. Now, when we were going through the book of Revelation, I talked about, I know I mentioned it several times, and maybe I'm thinking I mentioned it more than I did, but I mentioned it several times that when we were going through Matthew, we would come to this kind of section in the Gospel of Matthew that dealt with end-time prophecy. Well, here we are. Here we are. And it's kind of a, chapter 24 and 25 is kind of a mini eschatology look at the events of what's going on in Revelation. So if it sounds real end-timey, if it sounds real eschatological, if it sounds like, man, that's some crazy stuff coming, you're correct. You're correct in that. But this is what Jesus taught. His disciples wanted to know. And praise God, He gave them the intel, man. He gave them the info. And so the question is, do you want to know? I mean, that's the question. Do you want to know what's coming? Amen? All right, well, we're gonna hopefully find out. As we read, as Jesus left the temple courtyards on Wednesday, He delivered a final pronouncement of judgment on who? On the apostate Judaism, on that false religion that was going on in the temple. Then while sitting on the Mount of Olives, looking back at the monumental edifice that had become the symbol of the apostasy, He explained to His disciples what must take place before the end of the age and the establishment of His earthly kingdom. Now, man, I don't know about you, but one thing I'm going to be thanking the Lord for, I'm already thanking the Lord for it, but one thing I'm going to be thanking the Lord for next week is that the elections are over. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But one day, when we're off in glory during the 1,000-year millennial reign, there will be a perfect government. And Jesus will be the head of it. Jesus will be the head. His earthly kingdom. Now, the lengthy instruction Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, it is, we mentioned last week, it is the longest of His explanations, the longest of His answers to any question. It's known as the Olivet Discourse. It is so named because Jesus, on that hill east of the temple, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, He gave His disciples a sweeping picture of future events. And I can imagine some of those disciples that came to Him privately and asked that question, they were probably thinking about halfway through chapter 24, man, I don't know if we wanted all this. You know what I mean? Right? Remember when you were a little kid, you ask your parents a question? You know, hey, man, a one or two word answer sufficed, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, if they got off into this long diatribe and long explanation, it kind of left you behind, amen? So some of them might have been thinking, what's going on here? But as we here in the church, as we in this century, as we, at, and I believe at the end of the church age, as we think about Jesus' answer, as we think about His answer to His disciples, to their private question that they asked Him in 24:3, may our hearts be encouraged. May you be encouraged, my friend, by knowing more of the events between Jesus' first coming and His return. Because I want to tell you, when you know that you're on the winning team, when you know that you're on the right side, when you know that you got more to shout about than cry and complain about, it just helps you go through life. Amen? It helps you go through life. So, in teaching His disciples a future history, in teaching His disciples what was coming, Jesus depicted several coming realities, or we could call them birth pains. We talked about last week, birth pains. The first one was the destruction of the temple. We covered that in detail last week. The second one was the deception of many. We talked about that last week. The third one was the devastation of this old world. We expounded on that. as we begin this morning, we're talking about the deliverance of believers to persecution. Now, people are being persecuted now, don't get me wrong. You go to other places in the world and people are dying for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not recant, they will not turn away, they will not deny Him. And because of that, they end up losing their physical lives. But I want to tell you, there's going to be a day, one day in the future, that the persecution is really going to ramp up. Do you believe that? Then they will deliver you, verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. The fourth labor pain of the end times will be severe persecution of believers by the evil, ungodly world. More than ever before in history, the holy people of God will be treated in an unholy way, and in that sense, they will be desecrated. Desecrated. Now, this might not be a big stretch for some of you. For some of you, this may be a big stretch. The government, and I still pray for the government. Do you? Yeah. But the government will be the instigators of this. Can you believe that? The word will deliver in the Greek, has the basic meaning of being given over and was often used in a technical sense for arrest by the police or the military. After being taken into custody, believers will suffer extreme tribulation, extreme persecution, extreme pain, extreme abuse. Many will be murdered, and all will be hated by all the nations on account of who? On account of Jesus' name, the name of Christ. Being identified with Christ's name will cost believers their freedom, their rights, their respect, and often their lives. You know, I've seen a lot of tattoos in my day. Some I've seen and I've like, man, I wish you'd cover that up. I didn't want to see that, right? But you know what I don't see very often, Fred? The tattoo? I don't see the tattoo of Jesus Christ. I don't see that tattoo very often. I wonder why that is. I mean, people put all kinds of things on their body. Why wouldn't they put, I mean, if you're going to put one on, why wouldn't you put Jesus Christ on there? Identify with Him. Amen? Identify. Identify with Jesus Christ. Do you identify with Him? Do people know you're saved? They know you're a believer? Right? Okay. Now, you may be wondering, because there's a lot of theories, there's a lot of other teaching about how the end times happen. You may be wondering to yourself, preacher, where are we in end time prophecy in this passage? I mean, you're talking about some things here and you got me thinking. And I'm thinking about things I've already heard growing up or in other churches. And so where in the world are we in this passage, Matthew 24, where you're trying to preach out of? Where are we at in the tribulation when we discuss this fourth birth pain? Well, we're certainly after the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church has taken place. And probably past the first 3.5 years of a 7-year tribulation. You believe the tribulation is going to be 7 years? Anybody? I mean, I can go back through the book of Revelation, but it took me quite a few years to get through that the first time. I don't think I can do it all in one sitting here. But you know the tribulation is going to last 7 years, right? Okay, all right, very good. We're good there. So we're probably past the first 3.5 years of that tribulation. Because the first 3.5 years kind of goes relatively smooth. But then that second 3.5 years called the Great Tribulation, things get a little spicy. Things get a little spicy then, okay? Now, if you've not come around to this, if what I'm about to say, if you've not come around to this, then it's time that you appreciate what the Word of God says. It's time you study the Word of God for yourself. It's time you read the Bible in its entirety when it comes to eschatological teachings. And it's time you come to the conclusion that there will be people saved during the tribulation. There are going to be people saved during the tribulation. Those are the people that occupy the thousand-year millennial reign. Friend, I've tapped out. I've either died before the rapture of the church or I've been raptured. I've got a glorified body. I have moved on, my brothers. Amen? I've got bigger fish to fry than a thousand-year millennial reign, right? I'm going to be in the throne room with Almighty God. That's where I'm going to be, right? Now, if I get to come and go, if I get to check out my descendants during the thousand-year millennial reign, if there's any of my descendants left, so be it, right? If there's a stadia that we get to sit in and watch how it all unfolds, so be it. But my deal is not going to be that deal. My deal is going to be something else. But these folks that are saved during the tribulation and live through it, they are the ones that are going to experience this thousand-year millennial reign. Now, many will be saved. How, preacher? How are they going to be saved? Many will be saved through the preaching of the two witnesses. The two witnesses the Lord will send to minister for a period of 3.5 years, per Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. 11:3. Now, during that time, the witnesses will be supernaturally protected. God wants His Word to go forth. What did 14 say? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come, right? That's what that Bible says, and that's what's going to happen with that gospel. It's going to be preached around this world through the two witnesses, through the 144,000 evangelists. It is going to be preached all around this world, and then the end will come. Now, Revelation chapter 11, verse 7 says this, when they have finished their testimony, talking about the two witnesses, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and will kill them. And they're going to be left dead in the streets. And the lost people of this world and the Antichrist and his entourage, it's going to be like an unholy Christmas for them. They're going to give gifts. They're going to have banquets. They're going to have celebrations. They're going to get their drunk on. It's going to be incredible for them. But then, what's going to happen? Well, they're going to resurrect. Those two witnesses are going to resurrect. After 3.5 days, the two witnesses will be resurrected and taken up into heaven. And guess what's that? That's going to be teleported all over the world. Translated all over the world. Seen all over the world. That miracle itself will cause additional people to be saved and give glory to the God of heaven, per Revelation chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. And so the persecution will not be directed, as we think about back to our passage in Matthew 24, the persecution will not be directed so much against believers themselves as against God whom they serve and represent. The unbelieving world's hatred will intensify against God. And because it cannot attack God directly, the unbelieving world will fiercely attack His people. Now, if you have been through the book of Galatians, a great book, when Paul said that he bore in his body the brand marks of Jesus in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, he was affirming that he had received wounds that were really directed at Christ. Now, has the rapture of the church happened yet? No. When is the rapture of the church going to happen? Man beats me. But it could any day now. Got it? So what are we doing? Well, we're living this life best we can. Passing through. Amen? Just a passing through. hallelujah. This is not my final resting place. Are you with me on that? We're just passing through. Amen? So, maybe you can relate to what I'm about to tell you. You may experience on a smaller scale what's going to be happening in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation on a greater scale. You may experience this in your own life in the here and now. What do you mean? I mean that someone so lost, someone so opposed to the gospel, might lash out at you, because they sense something in you. Making sense? They sense something in you that pushes them, that pushes their button, that pushes them towards conviction of their lifestyle. Still making sense with you? You've not said anything about their lifestyle? You've not come out against their lifestyle? You've not come out against their lostness? You've not come out against any of that, but they despise you. They have a hate for you nonetheless. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah. Yes, yes. Amen. Whether before or after the rapture of the church, because people cannot get to Christ, they will abuse the ones who represent Him. That is just part of the territory. That is just part of being a Christian. So after the rapture, when the Holy Spirit withdraws His restraint and Satan is allowed greater freedom, the saints will suffer more and more often as they never have before. Is there a silver lining in all of that, preacher? There sure is. Because in Christ, oh man, this makes the goosebumps go up on my neck. Because in Christ, there is always rest. There is always peace. There is always comfort. I hate to say goodbye to my friends, but I love to see their testimony when they go out. I love to see that. That testimony encourages me so much. I mean, I can't explain it to you. It's like a strength like no other. I got a text message on Thursday, and the text was basically from Carla Westbury. And we had prayed for Brother Mike a couple weeks ago, and she sent me a text, and she said, we think of y'all as family, and we just wanted you to know that Brother Mike has decided to go on hospice. So he has, she had conveyed in her text message that he had taken his last, what's that thing when your kidneys are all shot? He had taken his last dialysis treatment, and he wasn't taking any more. And we had talked about he had had a fall and broke his arm and broke his leg. Well, apparently his leg was not coming back together the way it should. And they had talked to him about, you know, if he wanted to continue on, they're probably going to have to take that leg. And he just said, I've had enough. No more pain. No more dialysis. No more. Just ready to go. But she said he was positive in spirit. He was looking forward to glory. And they were helping him with some painkillers. Amen? I'm telling you, man, I have seen folks all shapes and sizes get to the end of life. And some don't finish well, but man, I have seen a bunch that have finished strong. Man, I want to tell you, I don't know when the Lord calls Brother Mike home, within the week, but I'm telling you, the heavenly choir is about to get one. Amen? The heavenly choir is about to get one. A great addition. Amen? A great addition. In Christ, there is always what, church? Rest. There is always what, church? Peace. There is always what, church? Comfort. Amen? In Christ. When Christ broke the fifth seal of the scroll, John saw those martyred saints. He saw where they were at. Well, preacher, where were they? John saw them under the altar of Almighty God. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe. And they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. Later, John saw in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, he saw a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Revelation 7:14 tells us that there are the ones slain. 7:14 tells us that these folks are the ones that are slain in the great tribulation. Now that's the fourth birth pain. I've got one more today, amen? And next week will be all Thanksgiving, right? Be warm, fuzzy Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to some warm, fuzzy Thanksgiving, amen? I need some warm, fuzzy. Been a rough year, but got a lot to be thankful for, amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right? So, the deliverance of believers to persecution. The second birth pain. Now, this is amazing to me. This is so amazing to me. But the fifth one is the tares. The tares. You know what tares are, right? Weeds. Right? Talk about tares in the church. Weeds in the church. Right? The tares. Are you ready for this? The tares pull themselves. Now, friend, if there was a fertilizer on the market where you put it on your yard, and within 3 days those weeds physically pulled themselves out of the ground, if that stuff was $100 a bag, I'd buy it. I've pulled so many weeds over the years, that Dallas grass, man, I'm telling you, or crab grass, whatever y'all call it down here, we always call it Dallas grass. That Dallas grass, man, them old long shoots, them old fuzzy little things sticking out. And man, if you bump one of those with your lawnmower, I mean, I'm telling you, the next time you come back to cut, there's five more of them. They got their little thing. Man, I would pay $100 a bag for fertilizer where weeds said, oh, we got to get out of here. And they physically yanked their own roots out of the ground and lay down on the ground. The tares will pull themselves here. It's amazing to me how God does it. Why does God do it like that? He does it because what verse 14 says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and the end will come. What is one thing you cannot stop? What is one thing you cannot get in the way of? What is one thing, I don't care how much money you raise, I don't care what political action committee you have, I don't care how many of this or how many of that, you will never stop. No one will ever stop. The world will never stop the preaching of that gospel. It'll never happen. It will never happen. Verses 10 through 13, at that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, right? The fifth birth pain is a consequence of the fourth. As persecution intensifies in the end times, and believers begin to be arrested and be hated and be martyred for Christ's sake, many supposed play-acting in name-only Christians, they're going to defeat. effect. They're going to pull themselves out of the church. Now, although they will have had an outward identification with Christ, they will prove by their desertion that they never belonged to Him. Never belonged to Him. It's so important to finish strong. To finish your race. Not how you begin. How you run says a lot about you. But friend, coming through the tape at the end of the race, that's how people remember you. That's how they remember you, right? Still with me? When the persecution becomes too severe, they will forsake Christ and join fellow unbelievers in assaulting and assailing God's people. And Jesus, in our passage this morning, He mentions three reasons for their defection. Do I have enough time? I think I've got it. I've got enough time. Number one, the cost for them will be too high. Verse 10, the cost will be too high. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Why are they going to do that? Because the cost will be too high. Throughout the church's history, there have been false followers. There have been tares in the church who like to wear the name of Christian. Who like to come and play church. Well, they do that because the name is acceptable. They do that because there's respect found in the body for them. And they do that because their culture, it's a positive thing to do in their culture. Or it's a positive thing to do in their home. Or it's a positive thing to do in their family. But they quickly lose their devotion when that name is attacked. They quickly lose that devotion. Those who bear that name are persecuted. They, oh, whoa, wait a minute. No, I didn't sign up for that. No, I'm out, right? The fake Christians who will fall away during the tribulation will not be true believers who are simply weak and cowardly, but unbelievers who reveal their true character when they openly reject Christ and viciously betray His people. Now, John gives us the example of false believers in his epistle. His first epistle, 1 John 2:19. You may know this passage. I've used it through the years. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. You heard that one before? For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. Now, ain't nobody perfect here. Amen? Ain't nobody perfect. We've all had our struggles in life. We've all had our sin issues. Some are still dealing with sin issues even now. It's a tough deal being a saved believer in this time, right? So many things against us. But I want to tell you, friend, am I still on? All right, felt like I went blank there for a minute. All right. Mr. Rogers is still alive. Amen. All right. Right? But we're talking about the difference between Judas and Peter here, right? I want you to see the difference between Judas and Peter here as we think about what's going on in this passage, Matthew 24. Peter, the apostle, who in a moment of fear and weakness denied knowing Christ, whereas Judas, because of his inner hatred of Christ, betrayed Jesus to Jesus' enemies. Such Judasites abandoned Christ's visible church because they were never a part of His invisible church. They forsake God's earthly family because they were never born into His heavenly family. Relating to that, you hear me? See, the true disciple of Christ is willing to suffer as Christ suffered, and no amount of affliction will cause him to renounce his Lord and Savior. A person who genuinely belongs to Christ may sometimes falter, may sometimes be disobedient, but he will never reject his Lord. You believe in that today? The person who belongs to Christ continues to confess Him, continues to serve Him, continues to suffer for Him when that is necessary. So, what's the difference between the real deal and the false? Well, the real Christian does not endure because of their own strength and fortitude. No, friend, but because they are indwelt by Jesus Christ's own Spirit, called the Holy Spirit, right? Who never fails to give us the sustaining grace and enable us as His children to go on. Right? I mean, we go on. We keep running the race. We keep battling, right? We keep getting up day after day and going after it. Why? Well, it's not by my strength, but by His strength. Something outside of me that's come inside of me that empowers me, that directs me, that encourages me, that spurns me on to keep on what? Keep on keeping on. Amen, amen? Now, I want you to try and wrap your head around the pain of the persecution. And I know it's, you know, I'm speaking words, and I don't have any special effects, and I don't have any video, but I want you to try to connect with this and wrap your head around the pain of the persecution in the end times. The defecting false believers in the end time will not be satisfied simply with leaving the church. They won't be satisfied by just leaving the church, but they will join in the church's persecution. Still with me? Yes? God's people will be betrayed. God's people will be betrayed by those who once were part of their fellowship, but who became offended at Christ when the cost rose too high. You've heard the saying, blood is thicker than church membership. Yeah. And so you've got a block of family, right? You got a block of family in a church, and one of that family got sin in their life, and you got some other folks in the church saying, hey, man, that can't happen, right? And you got this block of family. What do they do? Hey, well, wait a minute. That's my family you're talking about. We may be all members of the same church, but blood is thicker than church membership, right? And they'll just stand up and tell you that. No, you ain't voting that brother out. You're not voting that sister out. We're gonna bring all our kin up in here, right? Whether they're members or not. You get the picture? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Well, you can throw that out the window during the Great Tribulation. You can throw that out the window. Not in the end times. That horse is gone, right? That dog is through hunting. The Bible tells us, the Word of God says, brother will betray brother. A father will betray his child. And children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. Friend, that's what I say. Try to wrap your head around that. My soul. The cost will be too high. That's why they will defect. But secondly, Jesus tells us the deception will be too convincing. The deception. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Verse 11. The deception will be too convincing. False prophets, it says, we're talking about teachers, false teachers, will persuasively teach doctrines that seem true. They have enough truth to them. They have enough God speak to them, but are in fact false and satanic. The end time will be filled not only with overt evils such as the world has never seen before, but also with false religion as never seen before. And you know what the false religion is symbolized by, don't you? The false religion is symbolized by the great harlot of Babylon. The great harlot of Babylon. The figure of a prostitute. The figure of a prostitute is used because the world religious system will prostitute itself, seeking by counterfeit gospels and other means to keep people from the one true gospel and salvation. And we even see that in our own day and time. There's the fun church, and the this church, and the that church. And I don't give a rip. What I want to know, let me get past the donuts and the coffee and the black ceiling and the smoke, right? Let me get past the big lights. Let me get past the skinny jeans and the shaved head, man. Let me get off in that thing. And if there is repentance from sin, if there is taught a turning from sin and a trusting in Christ as one salvation, then I can applaud that and say, hey, man, that's the gospel. But if they've taken that sin out of there, if it's about a warm, fuzzy salvation, if there's no convicting power of the Holy Spirit, if there's no none of that, if there's no turning from and turning to repentance, oh, my soul, I'm doing what? Man, I'm getting in the truck, warming that dude up, putting her in low, and getting on out the door. That's what I'm doing, right? That ain't touching me. Let me get out of there, man. Woo! And you can tell. You can tell. You don't have to sit in the service, but maybe two or three services and figure it out, right? Figure it out. That's it. That's all you got to do. Two or three services. You'll figure it out. Despite their outward differences, the religious of that day will have one trait in common. It comes back to this hatred for the people of God, the true and purified brothers and sisters of Christ. Now, I got to tell you something, friend. If you're wondering what you're going to thank the Lord for next week, I just gave it to you, right? I just gave it to you. I done filled your barrel. I done filled your armory with Thanksgiving shots next year up to Jesus, right? Number three, sin will be too attractive. Verse 12, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. A third cause of defection will be the love of lawlessness, which as it is increased will cause most people's love for righteousness, truth, and the things of God to grow cold. Although in time lawlessness will certainly include disregard for human laws, it will be manifested most vehemently in increased disregard for God's law, His law. Evil will multiply so rapidly and so unashamedly that many people who are initially drawn to the gospel will turn away from it because of the multiplied enticement of sin. And you know how in our own day and time people try to hide their sin, thinking they're getting one over on God? Well, in this day and time, after the rapture of the church, there's no attempt to hide it anymore. There's no attempt. People will flaunt their sin. And such gross evil will draw many people, including some professed believers, away from whatever interest in the things of God they may once have had. They were Christian in name only. Now, describing the same period Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 24, Paul warned the young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. He says, but realize this, that in the last days, now, preacher, are we in the last days? Oh, you could make an argument for it. You really could, right? But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness. That's that fake church again. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Now, let me give you some application and we'll call it good. Amen. Jesus, verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus was not saying here that your endurance will produce salvation, but rather your endurance will be a spirit-empowered product in proof of the reality that you are saved. Amen? Neither the high cost of discipleship, nor the deception of false prophets, nor the enticement of sin will cause true believers to renounce Christ, because He Himself will protect them from defection. So, endurance is always, always a mark of salvation. So, you senior adults that are here, man, you ought to be encouraged. I'm still here. I'm still going, preacher. I'm still showing up. I'm still praying. I'm still watching online. I'm still doing. You still are, aren't you? Amen? But why? Why? Because endurance is always a mark of salvation. Yes, yes? The person who endures in faith, whatever hardship or persecution may come to them because of their relationship to Christ, they demonstrate that they belong to Christ, and Christ assures that person that he shall be saved. He shall be. See, we will eventually be delivered out of the present evil system of lawlessness and ungodliness into God's eternal kingdom of righteousness. Time is ticking, and the days are coming. I referred to this passage earlier in the message, but I'll go ahead and read it now. It's Revelation 7, 14 through 17. It says, I said to him, my Lord, you know, and he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of the water of life. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen and amen. So, I voted a certain way during the election. You probably did too. But that's not who I am. That's not who I am. I'm what that Bible says I am. That's who I am. All this other stuff is going to fall by the wayside. Well, should we vote? Absolutely vote, man. Exercise your right. Exercise your right. Start praying now for the next election. Just pray that we don't have to see any commercials. Pray we don't have to see any political ads for a while. But pray for the elections. I think if we start praying now, 2 years, I'm telling you, we might see some big things happen. Faithfulness of God's people to pray. You believe you're heaven bound? You should be encouraged today. You thankful today for who He is? You thankful today for what He's done? Amen. We'll really key on that next week, but as we close it out, let's have a closing word of prayer. We'll enter into a time of invitation as Jeremiah comes. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, Lord, and we thank You that we can be in the midst of Your Word and we can glean some things out of it, Lord, be reminded of some things we already know and be encouraged about some things that maybe we haven't thought about in a long time. Lord, we love you today. We praise you for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we pray for those that may be burdened, may be carrying a load that they need to get rid of. And we pray, Lord, that during this time of invitation, that if there's one or two that need to come offload that stuff and just have a moment with you down on the altar this morning, that they would feel the freedom to do that, and they would experience the worship and just experience the touch of your Holy Spirit in the midst of this place. Lord, if people want to take care of that in their pew, they're more than welcome to do that, Lord. And if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, we invite them as well to come and receive you. But Lord, we just want to take a few more moments of this day, of this hour, to sing praises to your name, reflect in our heart on what we've heard, and just experience before we leave here your goodness and grace together as your church. Thank you, Lord, for your love, and thank you for our salvation, and thank you for what you do. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. Jeremiah's going to lead us in this time of invitation. Well, you guys have a great afternoon, right? Eat you some of that out. Yeah, eat some of that out to that out to eat food for me. Amen. I've got potato soup I'm going to eat. Yeah, I'm going to mix a little broccoli with it. Mmm. Going to be good. Amen. It's got some butter in it. I put some half and half in that. Oh, I'm telling you, that potato soup's good. Yeah, potato soup's good. Hey, as we close today, would you join me in praying for Brother Mike and Miss Carla? Amen. Let's pray for them and lift them up. And my prayer for Brother Mike is that God would give him the grace to go through that valley. Amen. And end up on the other side of that river. Let's do it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we thank you again for your word today. We thank you for our friend Mike Westbury and Miss Carla. And Lord, what a great servant of the church he has been these many years. And Lord, he's so looking forward to embracing you and feeling your embrace upon him and letting him know, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. And so Lord, as he's in the home stretch, the fourth quarter, the last 30 seconds of this deal, Father God, we pray you give him the grace and the peace. And Lord, we pray for the hospice people that they would just treat him so well, keep him comfortable, and Lord, just allow him to to move on to bigger and better things with you. Be with Miss Carla, Lord, and we pray for Jenny and Josh, their two kids, that you would comfort them and be with them, and certainly be with Jenny as she travels from Washington State to get down here with her mom and dad. Lord, we just pray that you, their time together would be precious, would be blessed, and would just be filled with your anointing and Holy Spirit as they come together as a family in the midst of saying bye to Brother Mike. Lord, we rejoice in the fact we'll all be together one day. We rejoice in that fact. The Holy Spirit binds us together. And Lord, we all going to end up in the same place and be together. We just thank you for that. May that be the hope. May that be our encouragement. May that be what keeps us moving and going. Thank you for all, again, what you do for us and how you bless us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said?
Amen.
All right, don't forget Thanksgiving Bash next week. Get with John and Miss Virginia. Let them know if you're coming. Let them know what you're bringing.